Afternoon Theatre. West End Winners.
Paul Scofield and Patricia Routledge. With John Rye and Miriam Margolyes. In Noel Coward's comedy of the 1930s, Private Lives.
On the balcony. It's such a lovely evening.
Just a minute.
It's a pity the balcony of the next room joins this. Just a little barrier in between.
Never mind, dear. I don't expect anyone will come leaping over.
No, but still. Oh, there. Look at that view, darling.
Not so bad.
Oh, it's heavenly. Look at the lights of that yacht reflected in the water. Oh, dear. I'm so happy.
Are you?
Aren't you?
Of course I am. Tremendously happy.
Just to think, here we are, you and I, married.
Yes, things have come to a pretty pass.
Oh, don't laugh at me. You mustn't be blasé about honeymoons just because this is your second.
That's silly.
Have I annoyed you by saying that?
Just a little.
Oh, darling, I'm so sorry. Kiss me.
There.
Not so very enthusiastic.
That better?
Three times, please. I'm superstitious.
You really are very sweet.
Are you glad you married me?
Of course I am.
How glad?
Incredibly, magnificently glad.
How lovely.
We ought to go in and dress.
Gladder than before.
Why do you keep harping on that?
It's in my mind, and yours too, I expect.
It isn't anything of the sort.
She was pretty, wasn't she, Amanda?
Very pretty.
Prettier than I am?
Much.
Elliot!
She was pretty and sleek. And her hands were long and slim. And her legs were long and slim. And she danced like an angel. You dance very poorly, by the way.
Could she play the piano as well as I can?
She couldn't play the piano at all.
Ah! Had she my talent for organisation?
No, but she hadn't your mother either.
I don't believe you like mother.
Like her? I can't bear her.
Elliot! Well, she's a darling underneath.
I never got underneath.
Makes me unhappy to think you don't like mother.
Nonsense. I believe the only reason you married me was to get away from her.
I married you because I loved you.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
I loved you far more than Amanda loved you. I'd never make you miserable like she did.
We made each other miserable.
It was all her fault. You know it was.
Yes, it was entirely her fault.
She was a fool to lose you.
We lost each other.
She lost you with her violent tempers and carryings on.
Will you stop talking about Amanda?
But I'm very glad, because if she hadn't been uncontrolled and wicked and unfaithful, we shouldn't be here now.
She wasn't unfaithful.
How do you know? I bet she was. I bet she was unfaithful every 5 minutes.
It would take a far more concentrated woman than Amanda to be unfaithful every 5 minutes.
You do hate her, don't you?
No, I don't hate her. I think I despise her.
That's much worse.
And yet I'm sorry for her.
Why?
Because she's marked for tragedy. She's bound to make a mess of everything.
If it's all her fault, I don't see that it matters much.
She has some very good qualities.
Considering what a hell she made of your life, I think you're very nice about her. Most men would be vindictive.
Must see use of that. It's all over now. Such a long time ago.
5 years isn't very long.
Yes, it is.
Do you think you could ever love her again?
Now then, Sybil.
But could you?
Of course not. I love you.
Yes, but you love me differently. I know that.
More wisely, perhaps.
I'm glad. I'd rather have that sort of love.
You're right. Love's no use unless it's wise and kind and undramatic. Something steady and sweet to smooth out your nerves when you're tired. Something tremendously cozy and unflurried by scenes and jealousies. That's what I want. That's what I've always wanted, really. Oh, my dear, I hope it's not going to be dull for you.
Oh, sweetheart, though you could ever be dull.
I'm much older than you.
Not so very much.
7 years.
Oh, the music has stopped now, and you can hear the sea.
We'll bathe tomorrow morning.
I mustn't get sunburned.
Why not?
I hate it on women.
Very well, you shan't then. I hope you don't hate it on men.
Of course I don't. It's suitable to men.
You're a completely feminine little creature, aren't you?
Why, Why do you say that?
Everything in its place.
What do you mean?
If you feel you'd like me to smoke a pipe, I'll try to master it.
I like a man to be a man, if that's what you mean.
You're going to understand me and manage me.
I'm going to try to understand you.
Run me without my knowing it.
I think you're being a little unkind.
No, I don't mean to be. I was only wondering.
Well?
I was wondering what was going on inside your mind. What your plans really are.
Plans? Oh, Ellie.
Apart from loving me and all that, you must have plans.
I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Perhaps it's subconscious then. Age-old instincts working away deep down, mincing up little bits of experience for future use, watching me carefully like a little sharp-eyed blonde kitten.
How can you be so horrid?
I said kitten, not cat.
Kittens grow into cats.
Let that be a warning to you.
Oh, what's the matter, darling? Are you hungry?
Not a bit.
You're very strange all of a sudden, and rather cruel. Just because I'm feminine doesn't mean that I'm crafty and calculating.
I didn't say you were either of those things.
I hate these half-masculine women who go banging about.
I hate anybody who goes banging about.
I should think you needed a little quiet womanliness after Amanda.
Why will you keep on talking about her?
Well, it's natural enough, isn't it?
What do you want to find out?
Why did you really let her divorce you?
She divorced me for cruelty and flagrant infidelity. Oh. I spent a whole weekend at Brighton with a lady called Vera Williams. She had the nastiest looking hairbrush I've ever seen.
Misplaced chivalry, I call it. Why didn't you divorce her?
It would not have been the action of a gentleman, whatever that may mean.
Oh, I think she got off very lightly.
Once and for all, will you stop talking about her?
Yes, Ellie, dear.
I don't wish to see her again or ever hear her name mentioned.
Very well, darling.
Is that understood?
Yes, darling. Where did you spend your honeymoon?
St. Moritz. Be quiet.
I hate St. Moritz.
So do I, bitterly.
Was she good on skis?
Do you want to dine downstairs here or at the casino?
I love you, I love you, I love you.
Good. Let's go in and dress.
Kiss me first.
Casino?
Yes. Are you a gambler? You never told me.
Every now and then. Come along.
I shall come and sit just behind your chair and bring you luck.
That would be fatal.
Ah. Magnificent. Mandy?
Yes, Victor?
Come outside. The view is wonderful.
I'm still damp from the bath, isn't it?
I shall catch pneumonia, that's what I shall catch.
God.
I beg your pardon?
You look wonderful.
Thank you, darling.
Like a beautiful advertisement for something.
Nothing peculiar, I hope.
I can hardly believe it's true. You and I here alone together, married.
Oh. That tweed's very rough.
Don't you like it?
A bit hearty, isn't it?
Do you love me?
Of course, that's why I'm here.
More than...
Now then, none of that.
No, but you do love me more than you loved Elliot.
I don't remember. It's such a long time ago.
Not so very long.
All my life ago.
I'd like to break his damn neck.
Why?
For making you unhappy.
It was mutual.
Rubbish. It was all his fault, you know it was.
Yes, it was, now I come to think about it.
Swine.
Don't be so vehement, darling.
I'll never treat you like that.
That's right.
I love you too much.
So does he.
Mm, fine sort of love that is. He struck you once, didn't he?
More than once.
Where?
Several places.
What a cad.
I struck him too. Once I broke 4 gramophone records over his head. It was very satisfying.
You must have been driven to distraction.
Yes, I was. But don't let's talk about it, please. After all, it's a dreary subject for our honeymoon.
He didn't know when he was well off.
Look at the lights of that yacht reflected in the water.
Mm.
I wonder whose it is.
We must bathe tomorrow.
Yes, I want to get a nice sunburn.
Oh, Mandy.
Why? What's the matter?
I hate sunburnt women.
Why?
It's somehow, well, unsuitable.
It's awfully suitable to me, darling.
Well, of course, if you really want to.
I'm absolutely determined. I've got masses of lovely oil to rub all over myself.
Your skin is so beautiful as it is.
Wait and see. When I'm done a nice crisp brown, you'll fall in love with me all over again.
I couldn't love you more than I do now.
Oh, dear. I did so hope our honeymoon was going to be progressive.
Where did you spend the last one?
Victor.
No, I want to know.
St. Moritz. It was very attractive.
I hate St. Moritz.
So do I.
Did he start quarrelling with you right away?
Within the first few days. I put it down to the high altitudes.
And you loved him?
Yes, Victor.
You poor child.
You must try not to be pompous, dear.
Mandy.
I don't believe I'm a bit like what you think I am.
How do you mean?
I was never a poor child.
Oh, figure of speech, dear, that's all.
I suffered a good deal and had my heart broken. But it wasn't an innocent, girlish heart. It was jagged with sophistication. I've always been sophisticated, far too knowing. That caused many of my rows with Elliot. I irritated him because he knew I could see through him.
I don't mind how much you can see through me.
Oh, sweet.
I'm going to make you happy.
Are you?
Just by looking after you and seeing that you're all right, you know.
No, I don't know.
I think you love me quite differently from the way you loved Elliot.
Do stop harping on Elliot.
No, it's true, though, isn't it?
I love you much more calmly, if that's what you mean.
More lastingly?
I expect so.
Do you remember the first time I met you?
Yes, distinctly.
At Marion Vale's party?
Yes.
Wasn't it wonderful?
Not really, dear. It was only redeemed from the completely commonplace by the fact of my having hiccups.
I never noticed them.
Love at first sight.
Where did you first meet Elliot?
To hell with Elliot.
Manly.
I forbid you to mention his name again. I'm sick of the sound of it. You must be raving mad. Here we are on the first night of our honeymoon, with the moon coming up and the music playing, and all you can do is to talk about my first husband. It's downright sacrilegious.
Don't be angry.
Well, it's very annoying.
Will you forgive me?
Yes. Only don't do it again.
I promise.
We'd better go and dress now. You haven't bathed yet.
Where shall we dine? Downstairs here or at the casino?
The casino's more fun, I think.
We can play Boole afterwards.
No, we can't, dear.
Oh, don't you like dear old Boole?
No, I hate dear old Boole. We'll play a nice game of chemin de fer.
Not at the big table.
Maybe at the biggest table.
You're not a terrible gambler, are you?
Inveterate. Chance rules my life.
Oh, what nonsense.
How can you say it's nonsense? It was chance meeting you. It was chance falling in love. It's chance we're here, particularly after your driving.
Darling.
Everything that happens is chance.
You know, I feel rather scared of you at close quarters.
That promises to be very embarrassing.
You're somehow different now, wilder than I thought you were, more strange.
Wild? Oh, Victor, I've never felt less wild in my life. A little strained, I grant you. But that's the newly married atmosphere. You can't expect anything else. Honeymooning is a very overrated amusement.
Well, you say that because you had a ghastly experience before.
There you go again.
Well, it couldn't fail to embitter you a little.
The honeymoon wasn't such a ghastly experience, really. It was afterwards that was so awful.
Well, I intend to make you forget it all entirely.
You won't succeed by making constant reference to it.
Oh, I wish I knew you better.
It's just as well you don't. The woman in italics should always retain a certain amount of alluring feminine mystery for the man, also in italics.
What about the man? Isn't he allowed to have any mystery?
Absolutely none. Transparent as glass.
Oh, I see.
Never mind, darling. It doesn't necessarily work out like that. It's only supposed to.
I'm glad I'm normal.
What an odd thing to be glad about. Why?
Well, aren't you?
I think very few people are completely normal, really, deep down in their private lives. It all depends on a combination of circumstances. If all the various cosmic thingamies fuse at the same moment and the right spark is struck, there's no knowing what one mightn't do. That was the trouble with Elliot and me. We were like two violent acids bubbling about in a nasty little matrimonial bottle.
I don't believe you're nearly as complex as you think you are.
I don't think I'm particularly complex, but I know I'm
frightening me horribly. In what way unreliable?
I'm so apt to see things the wrong way round.
What sort of things?
Oh, morals. What one should do and what one shouldn't.
Oh, darling, you're so sweet.
Thank you, Victor. That's most encouraging. You really must have your bath now. Come along.
Kiss me.
There, dear, now. Hurry now. I've only got to slip my dress on and then I shall be ready.
Give me 10 minutes.
I'll bring the cocktails out here when they arrive, so come along now. Hurry.
All right. Sybil?
Yes?
I brought the cocktails out here. Hurry up.
I can't find my lipstick.
Never mind. Send down to the kitchen for some cochineal.
Don't be so silly, Ellie.
Hurry.
Good Lord, that tune. As I draw near you, you'll smile a little smile. For a little while, we will stand.
I'll take and the cocktails out onto the terrace.
I'll leave you never, love you forever.
Elliot, good heavens,
all our past sorrow redeeming. I'm alone and blue, can't believe it. Amanda! What are we going to do?
Thoughtful of them to play that, wasn't it?
What are you doing here?
I'm on honeymoon.
How interesting. So am I.
I hope you're enjoying it.
It hasn't started yet.
Neither has mine.
Oh, my God.
I can't help feeling that this is a little unfortunate.
Are you happy?
Perfectly.
Good. That's all right then, isn't it?
Are you?
Ecstatically.
I'm delighted to hear it. We shall probably meet again sometime. Au revoir.
Goodbye. Lord, what am I going to do?
Here I am. Cocktail, please. Ellie, what's the matter?
I feel very odd.
Odd? What do you mean?
Ill.
What sort of...
We must leave at once.
Leave?
Yes, dear, leave immediately.
Oh, Ellie!
I have a strange foreboding.
Oh, you must be mad.
Listen, darling. I want you to be very sweet and patient and understand and not be upset or ask questions or anything. I have an absolute conviction that our whole future happiness depends on our leaving here instantly.
Why?
I can't tell you why.
But we've only just come. Well,
I know that. Can't be helped.
What's happened?
Nothing has happened.
You've gone out of your mind.
I haven't gone out of my mind, but I shall if I stay here another hour.
You're not drunk, are you?
Of course I'm not drunk. What time have I had to get drunk?
Well, come down and have some dinner, darling, and then you'll feel ever so much better.
There's no use trying to humour me. I'm serious.
But, darling, please be reasonable. We've only just arrived. Everything's unpacked. It's our first night together. We can't go away now.
We can have our first night together in Paris.
We shouldn't get there until the small hours.
Now, please, Sybil. I know it sounds crazy to you and utterly lacking in reason and sense, but I've got second sight over certain things. I'm almost psychic. I've got the most extraordinary sensation of impending disaster. If we stay here, something appalling will happen. I know it.
Oh, hysterical nonsense.
Isn't hysterical nonsense. Presentiments are far from being nonsense. Look at the woman who cancelled her passage on the Titanic, all because of a presentiment.
I don't see what that has to do with it.
It has everything to do with it. She obeyed her instincts. That's what she did and saved her life. All I ask is to be allowed to obey my instincts.
Do you mean that there's going to be an earthquake or something?
Very possibly indeed, or perhaps a violent explosion.
They don't have earthquakes in France.
On the contrary, only the other day they felt a distinct shock at Toulon.
Yes, but that's in the south when it's hot.
Don't quibble, Sybil.
And as for explosions, there's nothing here that can explode.
Oh, ho, ho, isn't there?
Yes, but Ellie...
Darling, be sweet. Bear with me. I beseech you to bear with me.
I don't understand. It's horrid of you to do this.
I'm not doing anything. I'm only asking you, imploring you to come away from this place.
But I love it here.
There are thousands of other places, far nicer.
It's a pity we didn't go to one of them.
Now listen, Sybil.
Yes, but why are you behaving like this? Why?
Don't ask why. Just give in to me. I swear to you, I'll never ask you to give in to me over anything ever again.
I won't think of going tonight. It's utterly ridiculous. I've done quite enough travelling for one day and I'm tired.
You're as obstinate as a mule.
I like that.
You've got
I
your
must
nasty
say.
Little feet dug into the ground. You don't intend to budge an inch, do you?
No, I do not.
There's one thing in the world that infuriates me. It's sheer wanton stubbornness. I should like to cut off your head with a meat axe.
How dare you talk to me like that on our honeymoon night?
Damn our honeymoon night. Damn it, damn it, damn it.
Ellie.
Stop crying. Will you or will you not come away with me to Paris?
I've never been so miserable in my life. You are hateful and beastly. Mother was perfectly right. She said you had shifty eyes.
Well, she can't talk. Hers are so close together, you couldn't put a needle between them.
You don't love me a little bit. Oh, I wish I were dead.
Will you or will you not come to Paris?
No, I won't.
Oh, my God.
No, Ellie.
You were certainly right, Amanda, when you said you weren't normal. You're behaving like a lunatic.
Not at all. All I have done is to ask a little favour.
Little favour, indeed.
If we left now, we could be in Paris in a few hours.
If we crossed Siberia by train, we could be in China in a fortnight, but I don't see any reason to do it.
Oh, Victor, darling, please, please be sensible. Just for my sake.
Sensible?
Yes, sensible. I shall be absolutely miserable if we stay here. You don't want me to be absolutely miserable all through my honeymoon, do you?
But why on earth didn't you think of your sister's tragedy before?
I forgot.
Well, you couldn't forget a thing like that.
I got the places muddled. Then when I saw the casino there in the moonlight, it all came back to me.
When did all this happen?
Oh, years ago, but it might just as well have been yesterday. I can see her now, lying dead, with that dreadful expression on her face. Then all that awful business of taking the body home to England, it was perfectly horrible.
I never knew you had a sister.
I haven't anymore.
There's something behind all this.
Don't be silly. What could there be behind it?
Well, for one thing, I know you're lying.
Victor!
Well, be honest, aren't you?
I can't think how you could be so mean and suspicious.
You're lying, Amanda, aren't you?
Yes, Victor.
You never had a sister, dead or alive.
I believe there was a stillborn one in 1902.
Well, what is the reason for all this?
I told you I was unreliable.
Why do you want to leave so badly?
You'll be angry if I tell you the truth.
What is it?
I warn you.
Oh, tell me, please tell me.
Elliot's here.
What?
I saw him.
When?
Just now, when you were in the bath.
Where was he?
Down there. In the garden. In a white suit.
White suit?
Why not? It's summer, isn't it?
You're lying again.
I'm not. He's here. I swear he is.
Well, what of it?
I can't enjoy a honeymoon with you, with Elliot liable to bounce in at any moment.
Oh, really, Mandy?
Can't you see how awful it is? It's the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me in my whole life.
Did he see you?
No. He was running.
What was he running for?
How on earth do I know? Don't be so annoying.
Well, as long as he didn't see you, it's all right, isn't it?
It isn't all right at all. We must leave immediately.
But why?
How can you be so appallingly obstinate?
Well, I'm not afraid of him.
Neither am I. It isn't a question of being afraid. It's just a horrible, awkward situation.
I'm damned if I can see why our whole honeymoon should be upset by Elliot.
My last one was.
I don't believe he's here at all.
He is, I tell you. I saw him.
It's probably an optical illusion. His half-light is very deceptive.
It was no such thing.
Well, I absolutely refuse to change all our plans at the last moment just because you think you've seen Elliot. It's unreasonable and ridiculous of you to demand it. Even if he is here, I can't see that it matters.
Oh!
He'll probably feel much more embarrassed than you, and a good job, too. And if he annoys you in any way, I'll knock him down.
That would be charming.
Now, don't let's talk about it anymore.
Do you mean to stand there seriously and imagine that the whole thing can be glossed over as easily as that?
I'm not going to leave, Mandy. If I start giving in to you as early as this, our lives will be unbearable.
Victor!
You've worked yourself up into a state over a situation which really only exists in your mind.
Please, Victor, please, for this last time, I implore you, let's go to Paris now, tonight. I mean it with all my heart, please.
No, Mandy.
I see quite clearly that I have been foolish enough to marry a fat old gentleman in a club armchair.
It's no use being cross.
You're a pompous ass.
Mandy.
Pompous ass, that's what I said, and that's what I meant. Blown out with your own importance.
Mandy, control yourself.
Get away from me. I can't bear to think I'm married to such rugged grandeur.
I shall be in the bar. When you are ready to come down and dine, let me know.
Oh! Go away! Go away!
Sybil, if you don't stop screaming, I'll murder you.
I wish to heaven I'd never seen you in my life, let alone married you. I don't wonder Amanda left you if you behaved to her as you behaved to me. I'm going down to have dinner by myself, and you can just do what you like about it.
Do, and I hope it chokes you.
Give me a cigarette, for heaven's sake, Elliot.
Here.
Thanks. I'm in such a rage.
So am I.
Thanks. What are we to do?
I don't know.
Whose yacht is that over there?
The Duke of Westminster, as I expect. It always is.
I wish I were on it.
I wish you were too.
There's no need to be nasty.
Yes, there is every need. I never in my life felt a greater urge to be nasty.
And you've had some urges in your time, haven't you?
You start bickering with me, Mandy, I swear I'll throw you over the balcony.
Try it, that's all. Just try it.
You've upset everything, as usual.
I've upset everything. What about you?
Ever since the first moment that I was unlucky enough to set eyes on you, my life has been insupportable.
Oh, do shut up. There's no sense in going on like that.
Nothing's any use. There's no escape, ever.
Don't be melodramatic.
Do you want a cocktail? There are two here.
There are two over here as well.
We'll have my two first. There you are.
Thanks. Shall we get roaring, screaming drunk?
I don't think that'd help. We did it once before and it was a dismal failure.
It was lovely at the beginning.
You have an immoral memory, Amanda. Here's to you.
I tried to get away, but he wouldn't budge.
What's his name?
Victor. Victor Prynne.
Mr. and Mrs. Victor Prind. Mine wouldn't budge either.
What's her name?
Sybil.
Mr. and Mrs. Elliot Chase. God pity the poor girl.
Are you in love with him?
Of course.
Oh, how funny.
I don't see anything particularly funny about it. You're in love with yours, aren't you?
Certainly.
There you are, then.
There we both are, then.
What's she like?
Fair, very pretty, and plays the piano beautifully.
Very comforting.
How's yours?
I don't want to discuss him.
Well, it doesn't matter. He'll probably come popping out in a moment, and I shall see for myself. Does he know I'm here?
Yes, I told him.
That's going to make things a whole lot easier.
You needn't be frightened. He won't hurt you.
If he comes near me, I'll scream the place down.
Does Sybil know I'm here?
No. I pretended I'd had a presentiment. I tried terribly hard to persuade her to leave for Paris.
I tried too. It's lucky we didn't both succeed, isn't it? Otherwise, we should probably all have joined up in Rouen or somewhere.
In some frowsy little hotel.
Dear, it would have been much, much worse.
I can see us all sailing down in the morning for an early start.
Lovely, oh, lovely.
Glorious.
What's happened to yours?
She's downstairs in the dining room, I think.
Mine is being grand in the bar.
It really is awfully difficult.
Have you known her long?
About 4 months. We met in a house party in Norfolk.
Very flat, Norfolk.
How old is dear Victor?
34 or 35. And Sybil?
I blush to tell you, only 23.
You've gone a mucker, all right.
I shall reserve my opinion of your choice until I've met dear Victor.
I wish you wouldn't go on calling him dear Victor. It's extremely irritating.
That's how I see him, dumpy and fair and very considerate, with glasses. Dear Victor.
As I said before, I would rather not discuss him. At least I have good taste enough to refrain from making cheap jibes at Sybil.
You said Norfolk was flat.
That was no reflection on her, unless she made it flatter.
Your voice takes on an acid quality whenever you mention her name.
I'll never mention it again.
Good. Now keep off yours.
Thank you.
That orchestra has a remarkably small repertoire.
They don't seem to know anything but this, do they?
You always had a sweet voice, Amanda.
Thank you.
I'm awfully sorry about all this. Really, I am. I wouldn't have had it happen for the world.
I know. I'm sorry, too. It's just rotten luck.
I'll go away tomorrow, whatever happens. So don't you worry.
That's nice of you.
I hope everything turns out splendidly for you. And that you'll be very happy.
I hope the same for you, too.
Nasty, insistent little tune.
Extraordinary how potent cheap music is.
What exactly were you remembering at that moment? Oh,
Sir Moritz, the Palace Hotel skating rink in the morning, bright, strong sunlight, and everybody whirling round in vivid colours, and you kneeling down to put on my skates for me.
You've fallen on your fanny a few moments before.
It was beastly of you to laugh like that. I felt so humiliated.
Oh, poor darling. Oh,
do you remember waking up in the morning and standing on the balcony looking out across the valley?
Blue shadows on white snow. Mm. Cleanness beyond belief. High above everything in the world. Oh, how beautiful it was.
It's nice to think we had a few marvellous moments.
A few? We had heaps, really. Only they slip away into the background and one only remembers the bad ones.
Yes. What fools we were to ruin it all. What utter, utter fools.
We were so ridiculously over in love.
Funny, wasn't it?
Horribly funny.
Selfishness, cruelty, hatred, possessiveness, petty jealousy. All those qualities came out in us just because we loved each other.
Perhaps they were there anyhow.
No. It's love that does it. To hell with love.
To hell with love.
And yet here we are, starting afresh with two quite different people. In love all over again, aren't we? Aren't we?
No.
Elliot.
We're not in love all over again, and you know it. Good night, Amanda.
Elliot, don't be silly. Come back.
I must go and find Sybil.
I must go and find Victor.
Oh, why don't you?
I don't want to.
It's shameful. Shameful of us.
Don't. I feel terrible. Don't leave me for a minute. I shall go mad if you do. We won't talk about ourselves anymore. We'll talk about outside things. Anything you like, only just don't leave me until I pull myself together.
Very well.
What have you been doing lately? During these last years?
Travelling about. I went round the world, you know, after...
Yes, yes, I know. How was it?
The world?
Yes.
Oh, highly enjoyable.
China must be very interesting.
Very big, China.
And Japan?
Very small.
Did you eat shark's fins and take your shoes off and use chopsticks and everything?
Practically everything.
In India, the burning Ghats or Ghats or whatever they are, and the Taj Mahal. How was the Taj Mahal?
Unbelievable. Sort of dream.
That was the moonlight, I expect. You must have seen it in the moonlight.
Yes. Moonlight is cruelly deceptive.
And it didn't look like a biscuit box, did it? I've always felt that it might.
Darling. Darling, I love you so.
And I do hope you met a sacred elephant. They're lint white, I believe, and very, very sweet.
I've never loved anyone else for an instant.
No, no, you mustn't, Elliot. Stop.
You love me too, don't you? There's no doubt about it anywhere, is there?
No. No doubt anywhere.
You're looking very lovely, you know, in this damn moonlight. Your skin is clear and cool, and your eyes are shining, and you're growing lovelier and lovelier every second as I look at you. More than any desire, deep down in my deepest heart, I want you back again. Please.
Don't say any more. You're making me cry so dreadfully. Darling. What now? Oh, darling, what now?
I don't know. I'm utterly lost.
We must think quickly. Oh, quickly.
Escape?
Together?
Yes, of course. Now, now.
We can't, we can't. You know we can't.
We must.
It would break Victor's heart.
And Sybil's too, probably. But they're bound to suffer anyhow. Think of the hell we'd lead them into if we stayed. Infinitely worse than any cruelty in the world, pretending to love them and loving each other so desperately.
We must tell them.
What?
Call them and tell them.
Oh, no, no, that's impossible.
It's honest.
I can't help how honest it is. It's too horrible to think of. How should we start? What should we say?
We should have to trust to the inspiration of the moment.
It'd be a moment completely devoid of inspiration, the most appalling moment imaginable. No, no, no. We can't. You must see that. We simply can't.
What do you propose to do, then? As it is, they might appear at any moment.
We've got to decide instantly, one way or another. Go away together now, or stay with them and never see one another again,
don't
ever.
Don't be silly. What choice is there?
No choice at all. Come.
No, wait. This is sheer raving madness. Something's happened to us. We're not sane.
We never were.
Where can we go?
Paris first. My car's in the garage already.
They'll follow us.
That doesn't matter once the thing's done.
I've got a flat in Paris.
Good.
It's in the Avenue Montaigne. I let it to Frieda Lawson, but she's in Biarritz, so it's empty.
Does Victor know?
No. He knows I have one, but he hasn't the faintest idea where.
Better and better.
We're being so bad, so terribly bad. We'll suffer for this. I know we shall.
Can't be helped.
Starting all those awful rows all over again.
No, no. We're older and wiser now.
What difference does that make? The first moment either of us gets a bit nervy, off we'll go again.
Stop shilly-shallying, Amanda.
I'm trying to be sensible.
You're only succeeding in being completely idiotic.
Idiotic, indeed. No. What about you?
You look here, Amanda.
Oh, my God.
Darling, darling, I didn't mean it.
I won't move from here unless we have a compact. A sacred, sacred compact never to quarrel again.
Easy to make, but difficult to keep.
No, no, it's the bickering that always starts it. The moment we notice we're bickering, either of us, we must promise on our honour to stop dead. We'll invent some phrase or catchword which, when either of us says it, automatically cuts off all conversation for at least 5 minutes.
2 minutes, dear, with an option of renewal.
Very well. What shall it be?
Solomon Isaacs.
All right, that'll do.
Come on, come on.
What shall we do if we meet either of them on the way downstairs?
Run like stags.
What about clothes?
I've got a couple of bags I haven't unpacked yet.
I've got a small trunk.
Send the porter up for it.
Oh, this is terrible, terrible.
Come on, don't waste time.
Oughtn't we to leave a note or something?
No, we'll telegraph from somewhere on the road.
Darling, I daren't. It's too wicked of us. I simply daren't.
Solomon Isaacs, come on. Through here. Quickly. Oh.
Mandy? Where can she be? Mandy!
Ellie? Ellie! Oh.
Good evening.
Good evening. I was looking for my husband.
Really? That's funny. I was looking for my wife.
Quite a coincidence.
It's very nice here, isn't it?
Lovely.
Have you been here long?
No, we only arrived today.
Oh, another coincidence. So did we.
Oh, how awfully funny.
Would you care for a cocktail?
Oh, no, thank you, really.
Well, there are two here on the table.
Oh, there are two. Oh. Thanks very much. I'd love one.
Good. Here you are. Oh,
thank you.
To absent friends.
Yes. It's awfully pretty, isn't it? The moonlight and the lights of that yacht reflected in the water.
I wonder who it belongs to.
I wonder.
Brandy, darling.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad we let Louise go. I'm afraid she's going to have a cold.
Going to have a cold? She's been grunting and snorting all the evening like a whole herd of bison.
Bison never sounds right to me, somehow. I have a feeling it ought to be bisons. A flock of bisons.
You might say a covey of bisons, or a school of bisons.
Oh, yes, lovely. The Royal London School of Bisons. Do you think Louise is happy at home?
No, profoundly miserable.
Family beastly to her?
Absolutely vile. Mm. Knock her about dreadfully, I expect. Make her eat the most disgusting food and pull her fringe.
Oh, poor Louise.
Well, you know what the French are.
Oh, yes, indeed. Have you ever crossed the Sahara on a camel?
Frequently. When I was a boy, we used to do it all the time. My grandmother had a lovely seat on a camel.
There's no doubt about it. Foreign travel's the thing.
I'm glad we didn't go out tonight.
Or last night.
Or the night before.
There's no reason to, really, when we're cosy here.
Exactly.
It's nice, isn't it?
Strangely peaceful. It's an awfully bad reflection on our characters. We ought to be absolutely tortured with conscience.
We are, every now and then.
Not nearly enough.
We sent Victor and Sybil a nice note from wherever it was. What more can they want?
You're even more ruthless than I am.
I don't believe in crying over my bridge before I've eaten it.
Very sensible.
Do you realise that we're living in sin?
Not according to the Catholics. Catholics don't recognise divorce. We're married as much as ever we were.
Yes, dear, but we're not Catholics.
Never mind. It's nice to think they sort of back us up. We were married in the eyes of heaven, and we still are.
We may be all right in the eyes of heaven, but we look like being in a hell of a mess socially.
Who cares?
Are we going to marry again? After Victor and Sybil divorce us.
I suppose so. What do you think?
I feel rather scared of marriage, really.
It is rather a frowsy business.
I believe it was just the fact of our being married and clamped together publicly that wrecked us before.
That and not knowing how to manage each other.
Do you think we know how to manage each other now?
This week's been very successful. We've hardly used Solomon Isaacs at all.
Well, Solomon Isaacs is so long. Let's shorten it to Solux.
All right.
Darling.
You look awfully sweet in your little dressing gown.
Yes, it's pretty ravishing, isn't it?
Do you mind if I kiss you?
A pleasure, Lady Agatha.
What fools we were to subject ourselves to 5 years unnecessary suffering.
Perhaps it wasn't unnecessary. Perhaps it mellowed and perfected us like beautiful ripe fruit.
When we were together, did you really think I was unfaithful to you?
Yes, practically every day.
I thought you were, too. Often, I used to torture myself with visions of you bouncing about on divans with awful widows.
Why widows?
I was thinking of Claire Lavenham, really.
Oh, Claire.
What did you say, oh, Claire, like that for? It sounded far too careless to me.
What a lovely creature she was.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Darling.
Did you ever have an affair with her? Afterwards, I mean.
Why do you want to know?
Curiosity, I suppose.
Dangerous.
Oh, not now. Not dangerous now. I wouldn't expect you to have been celibate during those 5 years any more than I was.
What?
After all, Claire was undeniably attractive. A trifle over-vivacious, I always thought. But that was probably because she was fundamentally stupid.
What do you mean about not being celibate during those 5 years?
What do you think I mean?
Oh, God.
What's the matter?
You know perfectly well what's the matter.
You mustn't be unreasonable. I was only trying to stamp out the memory of you. I expect your affairs well outnumbered mine, anyhow.
That's a little different. I'm a man.
Oh, excuse me a moment while I get a caraway biscuit and change my crinoline.
It doesn't suit women to be promiscuous.
It doesn't suit men for women to be promiscuous.
Very modern, dear. Really, your advanced views startle me.
Don't be cross, Elliot. I haven't been so dreadfully loose, actually. 5 years is a long time, and there were none of them very serious.
Oh, do stop it, please.
Well, what about you?
Do you want me to tell you?
No, I don't. I take everything back, I don't.
I was madly in love with a woman in South Africa.
Did she have a ring through her nose?
Don't be revolting.
We're tormenting each other. Sit down, sweet. I'm scared.
Very well.
We should have said Solex long ago.
We're in love, all right.
Don't say it so bitterly. Let's try to get the best out of it this time, instead of the worst.
Hand, please.
Here.
More comfortable?
Much more.
Are you engaged for this dance?
Funnily enough, I was, but my partner was suddenly taken ill.
It's this damn smallpox epidemic.
As a matter of fact, it was kidney trouble.
You'll dance it with me, I hope.
I shall be charmed.
Quite a good floor, isn't it?
Yes. I think it needs a little borax.
I love borax.
Is that the Grand Duchess Olga lying under the piano?
Yes, her husband died a few weeks ago, you know, on his way back from Pulborough. Very sad.
What on earth was he doing at Pulborough?
Nobody knows exactly, but there have been the usual stories.
Oh, I see.
Delightful parties Lady Bundle always gives,
entrancing,
doesn't she?
Entrancing, such a dear old lady.
And so gay. Did you notice her at supper, blowing all those shrimps through her ear trumpet? What are you thinking about?
Nothing in particular.
Come on, I know that face.
Poor Sybil.
Sybil?
Yes. I suppose she loves you terribly.
Not as much as all that. She didn't really have a chance to get underway.
I expect she's dreadfully unhappy.
Oh, do shut up, Amanda. We've had all that out before.
We've certainly been pretty busy trying to justify ourselves.
The question of justifying ourselves, the true values of the situation that are really important. The moment we saw one another again, we knew it was no use going on. We knew it instantly, really. Although we tried to pretend to ourselves that we didn't. What we've got to be thankful for is that we made the break straight away and not later.
You think we should have done it anyhow?
Of course. And things would have been in a worse mess than they are now.
And what if we'd never happened to meet again? Would you have been quite happy with Sybil?
I expect so.
Oh, Elliot!
You needn't look so stricken. It'd have been the same with you and Victor. Life would have been smooth and amicable and quite charming, wouldn't it?
Poor dear Victor. He certainly did love me.
Splendid.
When I met him, I was so lonely and depressed. I felt that I was getting old and crumbling away unwanted.
Certainly is horrid when one begins to crumble.
He used to look at me hopelessly like a lovely spaniel, and I sort of melted like snow in the sunlight.
That must have been an edifying spectacle.
Victor really had a great charm.
You must tell me all about it.
He had a positive mania for looking after me and protecting
that
me.
That would have died down in time, Dan.
You mustn't be rude. There's no necessity to be rude.
I wasn't in the least rude. I merely made a perfectly rational statement.
Your voice was decidedly bitter.
Victor had glorious legs, didn't he? And fascinating ears.
Don't be silly, Elliot.
He probably looked radiant in the morning, all flushed and tumbled on the pillow.
I never saw him on the pillow.
I'm surprised to hear it.
Elliot!
There was no need to be cross.
What did you mean by that?
I'm sick of listening to you yap, 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 yapping about Victor.
Now listen, Elliot, once and for
all.
Oh,
my dear Solux.
But I...
Solux. Whew. That was a near thing.
It was my fault. I'm terribly sorry, darling.
No, it was very irritating, I know I was. I'm sure Victor was awfully nice. You're perfectly right to be sweet about him.
That's downright handsome of you, sweetheart.
I think I love you more than ever before. Isn't it ridiculous?
Put your feet up.
That's right.
Comfortable?
Almost. Wait a minute.
How long, O Lord, how long?
What do you mean, how long, O Lord, how long?
This is far too perfect to last.
You've no faith. That's what's wrong with you.
Absolutely none.
Don't you believe in anything?
Oh, yes, I believe in being kind to everyone, giving money to old beggar women, and being as gay as possible.
What about after we're dead?
I think a rather gloomy merging into everything, don't you?
I hope not. I'm a bad merger.
You won't know a thing about it.
I hope for a glorious oblivion, like being under gas.
I always dream the most peculiar things under gas.
Could you be young, always, if you could choose?
No, I don't think so. Not if it meant having awful bull's glands popped into me.
Cows for you, dear. Bulls for me.
We certainly live in a marvellous age.
Too marvellous. It's all right if you happen to be a specialist at something, then you're too concentrated to pay attention to all the other things going on, but for the ordinary observer, it's too much.
Far, far too much.
Take the radio, for instance.
Oh, darling, don't let's take the radio.
Well, aeroplanes, then, and cosmic atoms, and... television and all those gland injections we were talking about just now.
It must be so nasty for the poor animals being experimented on.
Not when the experiments are successful.
Oh.
In Vienna, I believe you can see whole lines of decrepit old rats carrying on like tiller girls.
How very, very sweet.
Oh, I do love you.
Don't blow, dear heart. It gives me the shivers.
Swivel your face round a bit more. I want to kiss you.
That better?
Very nice.
Darling, you're so terribly, terribly dear and... sweet and attractive.
We were raving mad, ever to part. Even for an instant.
Utter imbeciles.
I realised it immediately, didn't you?
Long before we got our degree.
My heart broke on that damn trip round the world. I saw such beautiful things, darling. Moonlight shining on old temples. Strange barbaric dances in jungle villages. Scarlet flamingos flying over deep, deep blue water. Breathlessly lovely and completely unexciting because you weren't there to see it with me.
Take me, please. Take me at once and let's make up for lost time.
Next week?
Tomorrow.
Done.
I must see those dear flamingos.
3 years, all told, we've loved each other. 3 married and 5 divorced.
Angel, angel, angel.
Elliot, stop now.
Why
stop,
should
stop.
I? Stop. You know you adore being made love to.
It's so soon after dinner.
You really do say such awful things.
I don't see anything particularly awful about that.
No sense of glamour. No sense of glamour at all.
It's difficult to feel really glamorous with a crick in the neck.
Why didn't you say you had a crick in your neck?
It's gone now.
How convenient.
I want a cigarette, please.
Here you are.
Match.
Well, wait a minute, can't you?
Thank you very much indeed. Chivalrous little love.
You really can be more irritating than anyone in the world.
I fail to see what I've done that's so terribly irritating.
No tact.
Tact? You have no consideration.
Too soon after dinner,
yes,
indeed.
Yes, much too soon.
That sort of remark shows a rather common sort of mind.
Oh, it does it?
Very unpleasant, makes me shudder.
Making all this fuss just because your silly vanity's a little upset.
Vanity? What do you mean, vanity?
You can't bear the thought that there are certain moments when our chemical what-do-you-call-ems don't fuse properly.
Chemical what-do-you-call-ems? Please do try to be more explicit.
You know perfectly well what I mean. And don't try to patronise me.
Now, look here, Amanda.
Darling, Solix, oh, for heaven's sake. Solix.
But listen.
Solix, Solix, oh, dear, triple Solix. Play something, darling, anything, quickly.
Yes. All right.
Romantic stuff, darling.
Yes. Big romantic stuff. Come over here, darling.
Someday I'll find you, moonlight behind you, true to the dream I am dreaming. As I draw near, smile a little smile for a little while. We shall stand hand in hand. I'll leave you never, love you forever. All our past sorrow redeeming. Try to make it true. Say you love me too. Someday I'll find you again.
You're the most thrilling, exciting woman that ever was born.
Dearest, dearest heart. Oh!
Good Lord.
Do you think it's them?
I wonder.
Nobody knows we're here except Frieda, and she wouldn't ring up.
It must be them, then.
What are we to do?
Well, we're all right, darling, aren't we, whatever happens?
Now and always, sweet.
Well, I don't care, then.
It was bound to come sooner or later.
Hello? Hello? What? Come on? Oh, Madame qui? Hello? Qui c'est ça? Oh, Madame du Vallon. Oui. It's only somebody wanted to speak to dear Madame du Vallon.
Who's she?
I haven't the faintest idea. Je regrette beaucoup, monsieur, mais Madame du Vallon vient de partir cet après-midi pour Madagascar.
Sure, that gave me a fright.
Oh, it sends shivers up my spine.
What should we do if they suddenly walk in on us?
Behave exquisitely.
With the most perfect poise?
Certainly. I shall probably do a court curtsy.
Things that ought to matter dreadfully don't matter at all when one's happy, do they?
What's so horrible is that one can't stay happy.
Oh, darling, don't say that.
It's true. The whole business is a very poor joke.
Meaning that sacred and beautiful thing, love?
Yes, meaning just that.
What does it all mean? That's what I ask myself in my ceaseless quest for ultimate truth, dear God. What does it all mean?
Don't laugh at me, Elliot. I'm serious.
You mustn't be serious, my dear one. That's just what they want.
want.
Who's they?
All the futile moralists who try to make life unbearable. Laugh at them. Be flippant. Laugh at everything. All their sacred shibboleths. Flippancy brings out the acid in all their damn sweetness and light.
If I laugh at everything, I must laugh at us too.
Certainly you must. We are figures of fun, all right.
How long will it last, this ludicrous, overbearing love of ours?
Who knows?
Shall we always want to bicker and fight?
No, that desire will fade along with our passion.
Oh dear, shall we like that?
It depends on how well we've played.
What happens if one of us dies? Does the one that's left still laugh?
Yes, yes, with all his might.
That's serious enough, isn't it?
No, no, it isn't. Death is very laughable. Such a cunning little mystery. All done with mirrors.
Darling, I believe you're talking nonsense.
So's everyone else in the long run. Let's be superficial and pity the poor philosophers. Let's blow trumpets and squeakers and enjoy the party as much as we can, like very small, quite idiotic schoolchildren. Let's savour the delight of the moment. Oh, come and kiss me, darling, before your body rots and worms pop in and out of your eyes so cute.
Elliot, worms don't pop.
I don't mind what you do. See, you can paint yourself green all over and dance in the Place Vendôme and rush off madly with all the men in the world, and I shan't say a word as long as you love me best.
Thank you, dear. The same applies to you, except that if I catch you so much as looking at another woman, I'll kill you.
Do you remember that awful scene we had in Venice?
Which particular one?
The one when you bought that little painted wooden snake on the piazza and put it in my bed.
Oh, Charles. That was his name, Charles. He did wriggle so beautifully.
Horrible thing, I hated it.
Yes, I know you did. You threw it out of the window into the Grand Canal. I don't think I'll ever forgive you for that.
How long did the row last?
It went on intermittently for days.
The worst one was in Cannes when your curling irons burned a hole in my dressing gown.
It burnt my comb too, and all the towels in the bathroom.
Well, that was a rouser, wasn't it?
That was the first time you ever hit me.
I didn't hit you very hard.
And the manager came in and found us rolling on the floor, biting and scratching like panthers. Oh dear. Oh dear.
I shall never forget his face.
Utterly ridiculous.
We were very much younger then.
And very much sillier.
As a matter of fact, the real cause of that row was Peter Burden.
Well, you know there was nothing in that.
I didn't know anything of the sort. You took presents from him.
Presents? Only a trivial little brooch.
I remember it well. Bristling with diamonds, in the worst possible taste.
Not at all. It was very pretty. I still have it, and I wear it, often.
You went out of your way to torture me over Peter Burden.
No, I didn't. You worked the whole thing up in your jealous imagination.
You must admit he was in love with you, wouldn't he?
Just a little, perhaps. Nothing serious.
You let him kiss you? You said you did.
Well, what of it?
What of it?
It gave him a lot of pleasure, and it didn't hurt me.
What about me?
If you hadn't been so suspicious and nosy, you'd never have known a thing about
it. That's a nice point of view, I must say.
Oh, dear. I'm bored with this conversation.
So am I. Bored stiff. Do you want some brandy?
No, thank you.
I'll have a little, I think.
I don't see why you want it. You've already had two glasses.
No particular reason. Anyhow, they were very small ones.
It seems so silly to go on and on and on with a thing.
You can hardly call three liqueur glasses in a whole evening going on and on and on.
It's become a habit with you.
You needn't be so grand. Just because you don't happen to want any yourself at the moment.
Don't be so stupid.
Really, Amanda.
What?
Nothing. What are you making a face up for? Going out somewhere, Dan?
No. Just making myself fascinating for you.
That reply has broken my heart.
The woman's job is to allure the man.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's perfectly true.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Oh, be quiet.
It's a pity you didn't have any more brandy. It might have made you a little less disagreeable.
It doesn't seem to have worked such wonders with you.
Snap, snap, snap like a little adder.
Adders don't snap, they sting.
Nonsense, they have a little bag of venom behind their fangs and they snap.
They sting.
They snap.
I don't care, do you understand? I don't care. I don't mind if they bark duck and roll about like hoops.
Did you see much of Peter Burden after our divorce?
Yes, I did. Quite a lot.
I suppose you let him kiss you a good deal more then.
Mind your own business.
Must have had a riotous time. No restraint at all. Very enjoyable. You never had much anyway.
You're quite insufferable. I expect it's because you're drunk.
I'm not in the least drunk.
You always had a weak head.
I think I mentioned once before that I have only had 3 minute liqueur glasses of brandy the whole evening long. A child of 2 couldn't get drunk on that.
On the contrary, a child of 2 could get violently drunk on only 1 glass of brandy.
Very interesting. How about a child of 4 and child of 6 and child of 9?
Oh, do shut up.
We might get up a splendid little debate about that, you know. Intemperate tots.
Not very funny, dear. You'd better have some more brandy.
Very good. I will.
Ridiculous ass.
I beg your pardon.
I said ridiculous ass.
Thank you.
You better turn that off, I think.
Why?
It's very late and it'll annoy the people upstairs.
There aren't any people upstairs. It's a photographer's studio.
There are people downstairs, I suppose.
They're away in Tunis.
There's no time of the year for Tunis.
Turn it on again, please.
I will do no such thing.
Very well. If you insist on being boorish and idiotic...
Turn it off! It's driving me mad!
You're far too temperamental. Try to control yourself.
Turn it off!
I won't!
Then I will!
Oh! There now, you've ruined the record. Look at it.
Good job, too.
Disagreeable pig.
Amanda, darling. Solux.
Solux yourself. Take that!
You spiteful little beast!
Oh,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry, darling. I swear I didn't mean it.
Go away, go away. I hate
Amanda,
you.
Amanda, listen.
Listen, indeed. I'm sick and tired of listening to you. You damn sadistic bully.
Thank you. A pretty display, I must say.
Stop laughing like that!
Oh, very amusing indeed.
Stop! I hate you, do you hear? You're conceited and overbearing and utterly impossible!
You're a vile-tempered, wicked little beast and I never want to see you again so long as I live!
This is the end, do you understand? The end! Finally and forever!
It's on the second floor, Sybil. Well, press the button.
Oh, yes. I wonder what they're doing, Victor.
I wouldn't know. Fighting like cat and dog, probably. First floor. Here we are. There you are.
Dear. Oh, dear, they do sound cross.
What did I tell you?
I hate and loathe you. Thank God I've realised in time what you're really like.
Oh, goodness.
Marry you again. Never, never, never. I'd rather die in torment.
What a hell.
Oh, shut up. I shouldn't marry you again if you came crawling to me on your stinted knees. You're a mean, evil-minded little traitor.
Brute.
I'll never set eyes on you again as long as I live.
Don't go in, Victor. Don't.
No. But listen.
I am listening. They're fighting.
Amanda has a horrid temper. I remember telling
you. Shh, listen.
Cad, beast. Brute. Devil.
All right, lock yourself in your room. I don't care. I hope I'll never see you again.
Shall we go in now?
Yes, all right.
Oh.
Well!
Good Lord, what a mess.
Bless you. Door.
Oh, et qui dort sur les deux fauteuils? Monsieur, une dame étrangère tous les deux. Oh, madame, madame.
Oh, dear.
Bonjour, madame.
What? Oh, bonjour.
Qu'est-ce que vous faites ici, madame?
What? Oh, wait a moment.
Attendez un instant. Oh, dear. Oh.
Victor! Victor! Mm.
Wait up. Hey, what's happening? Of course, I remember now. Oh.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour. What time is it?
Monsieur?
Quelle heure est-il, s'il vous plaît?
C'est 2h10, madame.
What did she say?
I think she said nearly 10 o'clock.
Ah. Voulez wake? Réveillez, monsieur et madame. Tout de suite.
Donc, monsieur, il m'est absolument défendu de les appeler jusqu'à ce qu'ils sonnent. Pardonnez-moi, madame. Je vais à la cuisine. Oh, Dieu, qu'il fracasse ici.
What are we to do?
Wake them ourselves.
No, wait a minute.
Well, what's the matter?
I couldn't face them yet, really, I couldn't. I feel dreadful.
So do I. Ah, it's a lovely morning.
Lovely!
Oh, I say, don't cry.
I can't help it.
Oh, please don't, please.
Oh, it's all so squalid. I wish we hadn't stayed. What's the use?
We've got to see them before we go back to England. We must get things straightened out.
I'll try to control myself, only I'm so tired. I haven't slept properly for ages.
Neither do I.
She hit him. I heard her.
Well, he'd probably hit her too earlier on.
I'd no idea anyone ever behaved like that. It's so disgusting, so degrading. Ellie of all people. Oh, dear.
What an escape you've had.
What an escape we both had.
Oh. Good morning.
Oh, Amanda. Where are you going?
Away.
Well, you can't.
Why not?
Well, I want to talk to you.
What on earth is the use of that?
I must talk to you.
Well, all I can say is it's very inconsiderate.
Now, Mandy,
I suppose you're Sybil. How do you do? Well, if you refuse to speak to me, I fail to see the point of your coming here at all.
I came to see Elliot.
I've no wish to prevent you. He's in that room over there, probably wallowing in an alcoholic stupor.
This is all very unpleasant, Amanda.
I quite agree. That's why I want to go away.
Now, that'd be shirking. This must be discussed at length.
Very well, if you insist. But not just now. I don't feel up to it. Has Louise come yet?
Well, if Louise is the maid, she's in the kitchen.
Thank you. You'd probably like some coffee. Excuse me a moment.
Well, how dare she?
How dare she what?
Behave so calmly, as though nothing had happened.
I don't see what else she could have done.
Oh, insufferable, I call it.
Oh, God.
Elliot! 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 Elliot!
Go away. Go away. Oh, do pull yourself together, for heaven's sake.
I wanted some coffee and rolls. They'll be here soon. Oh, I must apologise for the room being so untidy. Excuse me, won't you?
Look, it's no use crying like that. It doesn't do any good.
Elliot, where are you going?
Canada.
You can't go like this.
I see no point in staying.
You owe it to Sybil to stay.
How do you do? I don't think we've met before.
Oh, you must stay. You've got to stay.
Very well, if you insist. Oh. I'm afraid the room is in rather a mess. Have you seen the maid, Louise?
She's in the kitchen.
Good, I'll order some coffee.
No, you're, Amanda has already ordered it.
Oh, I'm glad the old girl's up and about.
We've got to get things straightened out, you know.
Yes, it's pretty awful. We'll get the concierge up from downstairs.
You're being purposely flippant, but it's no good.
Sorry, I'll lapse into silence.
What's to be done?
I don't know.
It's all perfectly horrible. I feel smirched and unclean as though slimy things had been crawling all over me.
Maybe they have. That's a very old sofa. Oh.
If you don't stop your damned flippancy, I'll knock your head off.
Has it ever struck you that flippancy might cover a very real embarrassment?
In a situation such as this, it's an extremely bad taste.
No worse than bluster and invective. As a matter of fact, as far as I know, this situation is entirely without precedent. We have no prescribed etiquette to fall back upon. I shall continue to be flippant.
Oh, Elliot, how can you? How can you?
I'm awfully sorry, Sybil.
It's easy enough to be sorry.
On the contrary, I find it exceedingly difficult. I seldom regret anything. This is a very rare and notable exception, a sort of red-letter day. We must all make the most of it.
Oh, I'll never forgive you. Never. I wouldn't have believed anyone could be so callous and cruel.
What? Breakfast not ready yet? Really, these French servants are too slow for words. Ah... What a glorious morning. I do love Paris. It's so genuinely gay. Those lovely trees and the Champs-Élysées and the little roundabouts for the children to play on and those shiny red taxis. You can see Sacré-Cœur quite clearly today. Sometimes it's a bit misty, particularly in the August. All the heat rising up from the pavements, you know.
Yes, dear, we know.
And it's heavenly being so high up. I found this flat 3 years ago, quite by merest chance. I happened to be staying at the Plaza Athénée, just down the road.
Such a nice hotel, with the most enchanting courtyard, with a fountain that goes plop, 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 plop.
This is ridiculous, Amanda.
Plop, 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 plop.
Now, Victor, I refuse to discuss anything in the least important until after breakfast. I couldn't concentrate now. I know I couldn't.
What manner, what poise, how I envy it, to be able to carry off the most embarrassing situation with such tact and such delicacy, and above all, such subtlety. Go on, Amanda, you're making everything so much easier. We shall all be playing Hunt the Slipper in a minute.
Please don't address me, I don't wish to speak to you.
Splendid.
And what's more, I never shall again as long as I live.
I shall endeavour to rise above it.
I've been brought up to believe that it's beyond the pale for a man to strike a woman.
A very poor tradition. Certain women should be struck regularly, like gongs.
You're an unmitigated cad and a bully.
And you're an ill-mannered, bad-tempered slattern.
Slattern, indeed!
Yes. Slattern, slattern, slattern. And fishwife.
Keep your mouth shut, you swine.
Mind your own business.
Stop! Stop! It's no use going on like this.
Let them fight it out if they want to. It'll probably clear the air anyhow.
Yes, but...
Come into my room. Perhaps you'd like a wash or something.
No, but I won't.
Come along.
Now then.
Now then what?
Are you going to take back those things you said to Amanda?
Certainly, I'll take back anything, if only you will stop bellowing at me.
Do you love Amanda?
Not very much this morning. To be perfectly frank, I'd like to wring her neck. Do you love her?
That's beside the point.
On the contrary, it's a crux of the whole affair. If you do love her still, you can forgive her and live with her in peace and harmony until you're 98.
You're apparently even more of a cad than I thought you were.
You're completely in the right over the whole business. Don't imagine I'm not perfectly conscious of that.
I'm glad.
It's all very unfortunate.
I'm glad you think so.
I do wish you'd stop being so glad about everything.
What do you intend to do? That's what I want to know. What do you intend to do?
I don't know. I don't care.
I suppose you realise that you've broken that poor little woman's heart.
Which poor little woman?
Sybil, of course.
Oh, come now, it's not as bad as that. She'll get over it and forget all about me.
Well, I sincerely hope so, for her sake.
Amanda will forget all about me, too. Everybody will forget all about me. I might just as well lie down and die in fearful pain and suffering. Nobody would care.
Oh, don't talk such rot.
You must forgive me for taking rather a gloomy view of everything, but the fact is I suddenly feel slightly depressed.
I intend to divorce Amanda, naming you as co-respondent.
Very well.
And Sybil will divorce you for Amanda. It would be foolish of either of you to attempt any defence.
Quite.
And the sooner you marry Amanda again, the better.
I'm not going to marry Amanda.
What?
She's a vile-tempered, wicked woman.
Well, you should have thought of that before.
I did think of it before.
You've got to marry her.
I'd rather marry a ravening leopard.
Now, look here. I'm sick of all this shilly-shallying. You're getting off a good deal more likely than you deserve. You can consider yourself damned lucky I didn't shoot you.
But if you'd had a spark of manliness in you, you would have shot me. You're all fuss and fume, one of these cotton wool Englishmen. I despise you.
You despise me?
Yes, utterly.
You're nothing but a rampaging gasbag.
Well, what's happened?
Nothing's happened.
Oh, you ought to be ashamed to admit it.
Where's Elliot?
In his room.
What's he doing?
How do I know what he's doing?
If you were half the man I thought you were, he'd be bandaging himself.
Elliot's just as strong as Victor.
I should like it proved.
There's no need to be so vindictive.
You were abusing Elliot like a pickpocket to me a little while ago. Now you're standing up for him.
I'm beginning to suspect that he wasn't quite so much to blame as I thought.
Oh, really?
You certainly have a very unpleasant temper.
It's a little difficult to keep up with your rapid change of front, but you're young and inexperienced, so I forgive you freely.
Seeing the depths of degradation to which age and experience have brought you, I'm glad I'm as I am.
That was exceedingly rude. I think you'd better go away somewhere.
After all, Elliot is my husband.
Take him with you, by all means.
If you're not very careful, I will. Elliot! Elliot!
What is he?
Let me in, please. Please let me in. I want to speak to you.
Heaven preserve me from nice women.
Your own reputation ought to do that.
Oh, go to hell. Victor?
What?
What did you say to Elliot?
I told him he was beneath contempt.
Good.
I think you must be mad, Amanda.
I've often thought that myself.
I feel completely lost, completely bewildered.
I don't blame you. I don't feel any too cozy.
Had you been drinking last night?
Certainly not.
Had Elliot been drinking?
Yes, gallons.
Well, you used to drink before, when you were married to him.
Yes, terribly. Night after night, he'd come home roaring and hiccuping.
Disgusting.
Yes, wasn't it?
Did he really strike you last night?
Repeatedly. I'm bruised beyond recognition.
Oh, Amanda.
Oh, Victor. I'm most awfully sorry to have given you so much trouble. Really, I am. I've behaved badly, I know. But something strange happened to me. I can't explain it. There's no excuse. But I am ashamed of having made you unhappy.
Oh, I can't understand it all. I've tried to, but I can't. It all seems so unlike you.
It isn't really unlike me. That's the trouble. I ought never to have married you. I'm a bad lot.
Amanda.
Don't contradict me. I know I'm a bad lot.
I wasn't going to contradict you.
Victor!
You appall me, absolutely.
Go on, go on. I deserve it.
I didn't come here to accuse you. There's no sense in that.
Why did you come?
To find out what you want me to do.
Divorce me, I suppose. As soon as possible. I won't make any difficulties. I'll go away. Far away. Morocco or Tunis or somewhere. I shall probably catch some dreadful disease and die out there, all alone. Oh, dear.
It's no use pitying yourself.
I seem to be the only one who does. I might just as well enjoy it. I'm thoroughly unprincipled. Sybil was right.
Sybil's an ass.
Yes, she is rather, isn't she? I can't think why Elliot ever married her.
Do you love him?
She seems so insipid somehow.
Do you love him?
Of course, she's very pretty, I suppose, in rather a shallow way.
Amanda!
But still... Yes, Victor?
You haven't answered my question.
Oh, I've forgotten what it was.
Oh, you're hopeless, hopeless!
Don't be angry. It's all much too serious to be angry about.
You're talking utter nonsense.
No, I'm not. I mean it. It's ridiculous for us all to stand around arguing with one another. You'd much better go back to England and let your lawyers deal with the whole thing.
What about you?
Oh, I'll be all right.
I only want to know one thing, and you won't tell me.
What is it?
Do you love Elliot?
No. I hate him. When I saw him again suddenly at Deauville, it was an odd sort of shock. It swept me away completely. He attracted me. He always has attracted me, but only the worst part of me. I see that now.
I can't understand why. He's so terribly trivial and superficial.
I don't expect you to understand. And I'm not going to try to excuse myself in any way. Elliot was the first love affair of my life, and in spite of all the suffering he caused me before, there must have been a little spark left smouldering which burst into flame when I came face to face with him again. I completely lost grip of myself and behaved like a fool, for which I shall pay all right. You needn't worry about that. But perhaps one day, when all this is dead and done with, you and I might meet and be friends. That's something to hope for, anyhow. Goodbye, Victor dear.
Do you want to marry him?
I'd rather marry a boa constrictor.
I can't go away and leave you with a man who drinks and knocks you about.
You needn't worry about leaving me, as though I were a sort of parcel. I can look after myself.
Well, you said just now you were going away to Tunis to die.
I've changed my mind. It's the wrong time of year for Tunis. I shall go somewhere quite different.
If it'll make things easier for you, I won't divorce you.
Victor!
We can live apart until Sybil has got her decree against Elliot, and then sometime after that I'll let you divorce me.
I see you're determined to make me serious, whether I like it or not.
I married you because I love...
Stop it, Victor, stop it! I won't listen!
I expect I love you still. One doesn't change all in a minute. You never loved me, I can see that now, of course, so perhaps everything has turned out for the best, really.
I thought I loved you. Honestly, I did.
Yes, I know. Well, that's all right.
What an escape you've had.
I've said that to myself often during the last few days.
There's no need to rub it in.
Do you agree about the divorce business?
Yes, Victor. It's very, very generous of you.
Well, it will save you some of the mudslinging. We might persuade Sybil not to name you.
Yes, we might.
Perhaps she'll change her mind about divorcing him.
Perhaps. She certainly went into the bedroom with a predatory look in her eye.
Would you be pleased if that happened?
Delighted. Ah! Well?
Elliot and I have come to a decision.
How very nice.
What is it?
Don't be silly, Victor. Look at their faces.
Feminine intuition. Very difficult.
Feminine determination. Very praiseworthy.
I am not going to divorce Elliot for a year.
I congratulate you.
Sybil has behaved like an angel.
Well, it was certainly a big moment.
Ah, here's your breakfast. Madame, le petit déjeuner.
Ici Louise, sur la petite table.
Oui, monsieur.
Merci.
À votre service, monsieur.
It all seems very amicable.
It is, thank you.
I don't wish to depress you, but Victor isn't going to divorce me either.
What?
I believe I asked you once before this morning, Elliot, never to speak to me again.
I only said what? It was a general exclamation denoting extreme satisfaction.
Do sit down, won't you, Mrs. Sy? Sit down, Victor, darling.
Right.
Half and half, Sybil?
Yes, please.
What would one do without one's morning coffee? That's what I often ask myself.
Is it?
Victor, sugar for Sybil.
Oh, yes.
It would be absurd for me to call you anything but Sybil, wouldn't it?
Of course. I shall call you Mandy. Mm.
Oh, Lord, we're off again. What weather.
Thank you.
What's the time? If the clock's still going after last night, it's 10:15.
Coffee, Victor, dear.
Thanks.
Sybil. Sugar for Victor.
I should like some coffee, please.
Brioche, Victor.
What?
Would you like a brioche?
Oh, no, thank you. I would. And some butter and some jam.
Funny how the south of France has become so fashionable in the summer, isn't it?
Yes, awfully funny.
I've been laughing about it for months.
Personally, I think it's a bit too hot. Although, of course, one can lie in the water all day.
Yes, the bathing is really divine.
A friend of mine has a house right on the edge of Cap Ferrat.
Really?
Yes, right on the edge.
That must be marvellous.
Yes, he seems to like it very much.
You must tell us about some more of your friends.
Do you know, I really think I love travelling more than anything else in the world. It always gives me such a tremendous feeling of adventure. First of all, the excitement of packing and getting your passport visa'd and everything. Then the thrill of actually starting and trundling along on trains and ships. And then the most thrilling thing of all, arriving at strange places and seeing strange people and eating strange foods.
And making strange noises afterwards.
Well, that was a damn fool thing to do.
How did I know she was going to choke?
Yeah, drink some coffee.
Leave me alone. I'll be all right in a minute. I'm going to get a glass of water.
You waste too much time trying to be funny.
It's no use talking to Elliot like that. It wasn't his fault.
Of course it was his fault entirely, making rotten, stupid jokes.
Oh, I thought what Elliot said was funny.
Well, all I can say is you must have a very warped sense of humour.
That's better than having none at all.
I see no reason for you to try and pick a quarrel with me.
I tried my best to be pleasant to you and comfort you.
You weren't very comforting when I lost
yes,
my
darling.
Tongue.
I have little patience with people who go about losing luggage.
Don't go about
Amanda,
losing
darling,
luggage.
You've got your hat
it's
on.
It's the first
that
time
mean?
I've lost anything in my life.
I find that hard to believe.
Anyhow, if you tipped the hotel porter enough, everything would have been all right. Small economies never pay. It's absolutely
oh,
no
for
use.
Heaven's sake, be quiet.
One thing, you'll get your desserts all right, oh. And it'll serve you right for being weak-minded enough to allow that woman to get round you so easily.
You can obviously speak with great authority, having had the intelligence to marry a drunkard.
So that's what she's been telling you. I might have known it. I suppose she said he struck her, too.
Yes, she did. And I'm quite sure it's perfectly true.
I expect she omitted to tell you that she drank 14 glasses of brandy last night straight off. And that the reason their first marriage was broken up was that she used to come home at all hours of the night screaming and hiccuping.
If he told you that, he's a filthy liar.
Yes, up to yes.
And if you
yes,
believe it, you're a silly, scatterbrained little fool.
Oh, how dare you speak to me like that? How dare you? I've never been so insulted in my life. I'm
it's Amanda, a tremendous relief to me
darling,
to have an excuse to insult you.
Shall we go?
I've had to listen to your weeping and wailing for days. You clacked at me and snivelled at me until you're nearly driven me insane. I always thought you were stupid from the first. But I must say, I never realised that you were a first-class, malicious little vixen as well.
Oh, stop it! Stop it! You insufferable great brute!
Oh!
That was Paul Scofield as Elliot and Patricia Routledge as Amanda, with Miriam Margulies as Sybil, John Rye as Victor, and Carol Boyd as Louise in Noel Coward's Private Lives. The piano music was played and improvised by William Davis. Private Lives was adapted for radio by Cynthia Pugh and produced by Ian Cottrell.
And the next play in our series of West End winners can be heard on Christmas Day. And coming a little nearer the present, it's Relatively Speaking by Alan Ayckbourn. The play opened at the Duke of York's Theatre in London in 1967 and helped to establish Alan Ayckbourn as one of the leading comic dramatists in the country. Relatively Speaking, with Michael Aldridge and Rosemary Leach leading the cast, is on Christmas Day at 3 o'clock. And now here is the weather forecast for tomorrow. England and Wales will be mainly dry, but with some dense fog patches at first, thinning only slowly during the day. A few bright intervals may develop, but fog patches will return towards evening. Southern Scotland and Northern Ireland will be rather cloudy, but will probably stay dry, with bright intervals chiefly over southeast Scotland. North Scotland will be cloudy with occasional rain and a good deal of hill fog. Temperatures will be similar to those of today. And the outlook for Monday and Tuesday: dry in the south with overnight frost and fog, rather cloudy in the north with some rain, mainly over North Scotland. That's the weather forecast.